But I think every way she handles certain situations, I'm just like, oh, that's my one, man. Like, what am I doing? Like, I know the hard thing for guys is just, you know, being comfortable saying like, yeah, really just one works for you, bro. And I think that's the hard thing for guys because we're in a culture that says, you know, multiple or many. But like, once you really look and observe like the person in front of you, like she is the total package and she's everything at one, right? And I looked, I said, you're right, my bad. I love you, man. I ain't going nowhere.
Welcome to Dottie's House. I'm Arvia Few, the founder of Dottie, and welcome to our podcast. So what is Dottie? Dottie is a community created for young Black people to connect socially and romantically. We are changing the conversation around dating, marriage, and intentionality. We're doing live events, we're matchmaking, and changing the conversation online. And that's why we're doing this podcast. There's so much to share and so many people we can't wait for you to meet in upcoming episodes. Thank you for joining.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's
party
up?
People, we are so excited to have Jara and Trey on the show today.
Yeah.
I have been wanting them on this podcast for forever, actually before they even got married. You guys have been asking for young people to be on this show, so I am bringing it to you. They are 33 and 34 years old. They met when they were both in school.
Yeah.
Weren't you guys both in school?
Definitely.
Trey was at Howard. Mm-hmm. Jara was at Brown. Actually, they met previously when they were younger at in Jack and Jill at like a teen conference, but that's not going to really count.
Yeah. It met again in college. Well, right after post-college, but we stayed in touch.
Right. You stayed in touch. You always had your good eye out.
Always.
They are now two thriving young adults with baby Cade, who is just turned one.
Yeah.
Is he one already or is he about to turn one?
10 months.
Turn one. Yeah. He'll turn one April 12th.
Yeah. So exciting. Jara is a full-fledged practicing ophthalmologist. She is a doctor in Houston, Texas, which is where they both live. Mm-hmm. Trey is an entrepreneur. I mean, he is the consummate entrepreneur. He is a developer. He is a realtor. He is actually on the Dottie team as one of our master connectors. He is an influencer. He does a lot. And we're going to get into it, understanding how they balance work and family, how Jara and Trey manage, Jara being a full-time ophthalmologist and Trey kind of doing his thing and Jara giving him the space, really, to do what he does.
Sure.
We're going to talk about how they met and everything else in between. So let's just get into it. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Tell us briefly how you met. And Trey, to be honest, we all know you. Trey was outside. He was at Howard throwing parties. He was doing a lot.
I was, you know, with respects of my boundaries that was set for myself, you know. I had boundaries for myself. But I was outside.
Of course you did.
You know. But I met her, our senior year in high school. Really enough, she was at the elevator before she was leaving to go to somebody else's prom. But it was Jack and Jill teen conference. And I remember she had on all white. And I just went up to her and I said, I don't know who you are. My name is Trey. And I think you're gorgeous. And I would love to stay in contact and like see if I get your number. I don't know if she gave me her number. I don't remember the whole thing. But
I did. And then he kept texting me, inviting me to these Howard parties. But I was way up in Providence, Rhode Island. So I would get the text messages and just wonder who this person was, why he kept inviting me to parties in D.C., or in Houston, Texas. He has a Christmas party he throws once a year and he would invite me to that party. The really funny thing about it is he knew where I was going to college. So he had my name saved as Jara Brown and he would text me, Jara Brown, come to this party.
I never knew her last name.
That was hilarious. So you were really trying to hit up Jara before you even got to college, before she even started.
I think when she was graduating, they all said like you're different schools. So I thought that was her last name. And I think you're, Instagram said Jara Brown or so? No.
Nothing.
I don't know. It just was in my phone as Jara Brown for the longest. And maybe I was just shouting out her college. I don't know. But I thought that was her last name, Brown. She was like, what? No.
Yes.
But.
Okay, so then what?
I saw him at a few parties after Obama's inauguration. There was an event that he threw, and I came to DC because I had a friends at Howard, so I would come in town every once in a while. But every time I saw him, he was surrounded by lots of people. So I didn't really try to, you know, fight him. You know,
I think I made my way to make sure that I said hey to her. Every time she was somewhere in the room, I made my way to go see her. And then even there was a time that we went to Mardi Gras in New Orleans. And I remember vividly, I had 15 friends with me. I think we're all the way on Bourbon. And she's on St. Charles because her parents own some condos over there. And I tell the whole group, like, yo, I got this friend I want to go see. But I didn't want to walk by myself. So I convinced 15 people to walk with me all the way to St. Charles Street. And it was just her and one other girl. Right. And I had 15 guys with me, but I was wanting to see her. And I went over there to say, hey, she was like, hey, it's just us. I was just like, what's up? Trying to play it cool. But I know I had like 15 people with me. Just like, yeah, guys, oh, this is the street. Everybody like, and I tell those guys this day, like, man, thank y'all, man. Cause look, we married. So thank y'all for y'all sacrifice.
Okay. When we talk about intention, you were clear.
I was clear. I know I liked it.
You were like pinging, 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 pinging.
Yeah, man, I was. And I don't think I was doing it too much. So like, as you're matriculating, you want to be intentional, but you don't want to be, I guess, I don't want to say the word thirsty, but you want to have some level of thirst. But like, you know, you got to do it tactical and like make it look cool at the same time. But I knew I wanted her, you know, and I think she wanted me too, but she wasn't trying to like say that.
So you felt like you already knew you wanted her when you met her at that party.
Yeah, I think I think I wanted her when I was in Jack and Jill Teen Conference, but Jara would say that like my mind was in that space of like where we are now. So like I wouldn't even know how to appreciate it or value it at that point in time, which I can.
So were you dating other people when you were at Howard? Did you guys, were you guys both in other relationships while you were at Howard?
Yeah, I was.
Yes, I was.
So you were, okay, so you met right before college, right before you went to school.
Right before, like
Trey,
you
kept in touch over the years, sending her things about parties and catching up with her, Mardi Gras, all the things, but you never really dated.
No.
So then what happened?
So I think people, my friends would always refer to me as a serial monogamist. So I had a boyfriend in,
all the time.
In college, yes. And then I had a boyfriend going into medical school. And then towards the end of medical school, I was single and it was kind of my first time being single. And I thought, this is my chance to just, you know, be, have fun, live my life. And towards the end of medical school, there's this period of time where you can go to different programs and see if you like it by spending a month there. And I planned to go to Howard Hospital. And coincidentally, Trey invited me to some party.
I don't even know what I was
invited to. We actually looked through to try to figure out what it was, but some party and he's in July. And I said, well, I'm not going to be there in July, but I'll be there in October. And he said, awesome.
I got hype. I told my guy, Brandon, was one of my best men. So I was like, yo, bro, hey, I don't know if she's going to be single, but if she comes, yeah, I've been like her forever, bro. Like I would really want to be intentional if she comes out here. And I just happened to be single as well at that time. And, you know, divine intervention, you know, no one has the cards to the game, but as long as you play it, I mean, that's the most important thing. And I think it took her 3 weeks to like, let me take her out when she got in DC or something. I just know when we went out, she invited me with her and her friends. And I looked at the friends, cause I happened to know them too. And I was like, she went to the restroom. I looked at the friends. I'm like, hey, I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I really like Jara. So like when she comes back to this table, I want to really focus on like seeing whatever I can do to make sure she's happy when she leaves this moment to be like, I want to hang out with them again. And like all the friends were like, cool, you know? And we kind of hung out. This is when I had a Mini Cooper convertible. So she jumped in my car and we went to my friend's club and he had a bottle waiting on us, you know?
Okay, well, okay, let's play back a few things because this is major game.
Yeah.
One of the things that's so great, Trey, is that you are confident enough to meet her with her girls, wherever you guys were.
Yeah.
But that you also set the tone when she went to the bathroom. You let everybody know.
Yeah.
I am interested. I am focused. Help me.
Right.
Help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, okay.
Yeah. They,
I don't think the young people do that anymore.
Yeah. I would say I wouldn't want anybody to feel scared to ask the friend circle for that kind of assistance because a woman still values her friends that she's connected with first. And that's really the first line of defense. If the friends are supportive of it, I think, you know, they'll kind of champion you on to the finish line, but it really never is the finish line, you know. But they'll champion you on to say, hey, we see something in both of you guys. So I think that's what happened there.
That's okay, so then you left with him? Jara, so I'm trying to help me understand. Now, what time of day was this?
It was an evening thing. We were catching up for drinks. So just to put a little bit of a background, every time Trey would invite me out for those first 2 weeks, it was kind of like a late night invite. So I was like, maybe next time.
Booty call.
Yes, which was not happening. So I really didn't think he was serious at all.
All right.
But he knows a lot of my friends. No. And so when we went out this particular time, I think one of my friends from New Orleans was visiting the rest of us. And so we already had in our mind that this was going to be a fun night. And so Trey actually took all of us to that section in the club.
Yep. Cloak and Dagger.
It was really a very small, like more like a lounge type club. Yeah. And their upstairs was closed off. So he opened up the upstairs and gave us a little spot there and brought us a bottle of champagne. And so
was this Mark Barnes?
No, we didn't go to Park that night. That was another friend of mine, John. He owned a place called Cloak and Dagger on U and 14th. So I thought it'd be smart to do something a little bit more intimate instead of going to the big club type environment. Cause it was only like five of us or something like that. And I was the only guy, I think I called like one other person to meet us there or probably just me the whole time. So I didn't want to do too much, but it was like the perfect scenario. Like the champagne was on ice. They came upstairs. They all laughed and joked. I think Jesse was talking about her brother doing a book signing at Busboy and Poets the next couple of days.
So how
it was
old a were you guys? Environment.
Maybe 26. 25.
Turned 26 that,
Yeah, I turned that year. I turned 26 or 25 that year.
You turned 25. I turned 26.
Yeah, I turned 25 that year.
So I've got a question. Trey.
Yes.
When you were calling Jara late night to hook up with you and she was not coming, for real. Mm-hmm. What was your intention? Was it a booty call? Like if she, no, just be honest because the people need to hear it.
Be honest.
If she would have showed up, like, why were you calling her, first of all, late at night to hook up, number one? That's what I want to understand. And then number two, if she would have given up the cookies, would you be sitting here right now?
Well, first of all, I think the reason I was texting her late, because she's a doctor, you know, she had late hours. So that could have been her work hours. I don't know. But not.
She was in residency. She was not practicing.
All seriousness.
And she wasn't even in residency. Were you in residency?
No, she wasn't. She wasn't.
No, she was in school. So what are you talking about?
Yeah. Making excuses. It's cool. you know, I think I had the wrong intentions for it, but I could have found love in that space too. And I think I was going at it at the wrong time because sometimes guys like we want a date and stuff like that, but we don't want to be the one that goes on a date and then she's going to see the next person after the date. You know. Like at that point in time, I mean, granted, that's not the type of woman she is, but like in the world that we live in, you know, you don't know. So I think.
So you shot your shot basically.
Yeah. She made you work harder. She said no politely. So, right. But still encouraging like, hey, not right now. It wasn't like a shoot down. It was like, hey, you know, let's find something else to meet in the middle, you know, because the time that we had really saw each other was in the club the year prior for Obama's inauguration. I think before that, really just interacting from Jack and Jill in high school, right? So there wasn't any time to really have a true rapport in person. But, you know, the cool thing about social media and stuff allows the people to kind of be up to date on how people's lifestyles are living. And I think both of our lifestyles was in the same, you know, wavelength of like, hey, I can vibe with that guy. And I think, you know, maybe I was trying to take advantage of the space of saying, hey, come over, because I didn't know she would. But I'm glad it happened the way it did, you know. But the thought process was in the back of her head, regardless when we started hanging out. So that's a good thing. So you never know what planet seed you're planting, but the tree blossomed, you know. So I'm sorry. I don't know if you felt away, but I'm sorry if I text you late at night. But yeah, sometimes we try to close, but closing isn't the end all be all, right? Because sometimes when you
call, what does close mean?
Closing, like you still want to, like, you know, have that sexual interaction or, you know, intimacy, right? So as a guy, they feel like that was the best reason of a date, like, bro, I made it happen, right? You know, but sometimes that making it happen can sell yourself short. We don't have the long run, you know, so it's all depends on how you look at it. And then, you know, blessings come in different ways. So yeah, like, why have the short return, we have the long-term result, right? And that's kind of how it worked out for us, you know? And when we hung out, I was thrilled and overjoyed, you know?
Yes.
Good as that.
Okay. So when did you guys officially start dating, you know, Jara, after you guys went to the club with your girls? What happened after that?
I mentioned that I was only in DC for this month-long interview with this hospital. And it ended just shortly after Trey's birthday. So we were kind of discussing timing. So we said goodbye and he said, I'm going to come visit you in Providence. And I thought, okay, it's not happening. And that was probably, I don't know, end last week of October, November 12th, he showed up. He said, I'm catching a flight. He did actually tell me ahead of time. He didn't just show up, but he really did come.
That's awesome.
He came to Providence and he visited me.
It was like 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later?
About 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And then we intermittently visited each other. It was a little bit harder for me to leave because of medical school. It was like the last year. But we did visit each other. And then probably sometime around Valentine's Day?
Probably.
Were we officially dating by then?
I think she gave me that. I wouldn't say ultimatum.
No, what did she give you, Trey? Go ahead and say it. What'd she say?
All right, so there's a point in time that, you know, protection is always important, right? And I think we looked at each other and said, hey, we should, you know, be safe here. But like, are we official? And I was like, you know what? Yes. Because I actually looked at her first and said, I love you. I did.
What he's trying to say is that there was a point in time where we discussed if we were monogamous. And I told him he could either have sex with me or he could have sex with everyone else. And we could date.
That part.
But you have to choose, either you're having sex with me or you're having sex with anyone else. And you can't do both.
Right. She did say that.
Jara put her foot down and said, you're either having sex with me or sex with other people, but we're not having sex with me and everybody else.
Right.
And I love the fact that you created boundaries right there and you let him know that I'm not that girl.
And I appreciate
it. Probably appreciated that, didn't you?
Well, for sure. And I think the way she mentioned it and said it was beautiful. I said, man, you're right. I love you, man. But I said, I love you before then. But I think every way she handles certain situations, I'm just like, oh, that's my one, man. Like, what am I doing? Like, I know the hard thing for guys is just, you know, being comfortable saying like, yeah, really just one works for you, bro. And I think that's the hard thing for guys because we're in a culture that says, you know, multiple and many. But like, once you really look and observe like the person in front of you, like she is the total package and she's everything in one, right? And I looked, I said, you're right, my bad. I love you, man. I ain't going nowhere.
I love it.
You know, and this is where we are now. But the way she mentioned it, it's like a, hey, I know this is what you want, so let me put it on the table because you need to decide it yourself. I'm like, you're right. So I appreciate it every day. That's a real thing. She really said, excuse me, what are we doing here? How she presents it is probably the best way any woman can probably present it to. Because you know how some women are maybe like, you know, hey, should I make sure he's aware that, you know, this is something, you know, more than what we, you know, let's not make this casual, let's be intentional, you know? And I think there's ways to kind of mention being intentional. I think she did it the best way I've ever seen. I haven't seen it multiple times, but like, yeah, I would say, you know, the way she
did
put
it.
You
say you haven't seen it multiple times?
No, not like, because like when she presented, I was like, yeah, bro, like I don't need to go search anything else. Like, yeah, I'm right here, you know? And anything from a previous relationship, you know, we all look back in our previous, you know, situations. And I always tell my friends, like, it's a blessing that she came in my life because you can think you had one thing right, but really it doesn't measure up to anything that really fits for the one. And then when you know you have the one, like, grass ain't greener. Like, just mow the lawn, fertilize it, bro. Like, stay right there with that grass. So, you know, that's just, you know, how we look at it. And we know we're going to have things that come up that we haven't seen yet, but we're down to, you know, stay in the grass that we're in.
Beautiful. What else is special about your relationship is that it was long distance for a very long time. Obviously, you had Howard and Brown, and then you guys became quote unquote official. Actually, you were then applying to residencies and your goal was to go to Howard and tell the party people what happened and why you felt the way that you did and how you were able to, you know, make it work.
Yes. Yeah, so there is a process of residency match that all medical students have to go to, and you basically rank your top hospitals. And I really loved my time actually at Howard Hospital. And so I had ranked it very high. And there was one other program that I put just above Howard Hospital because it's one of the best programs in the country. And a lot of my advisors have told me you cannot rank this program anything other than first, but I never thought that they would pick me. So I put it first, and then I put the place that I wanted to be. And I thought, you know, we'll have some time in DC and we'll see if this works out. And if it doesn't, I love DC anyway. I've always wanted to live there. And luckily the ophthalmology match comes before your first year match, because you do have to do a preliminary year of medicine or surgery. And so I found out I was going to Michigan, and it was a bit of a shock for me because that I'd never been to Michigan before other than my interview. And, you know, when we'd spoken about it, we didn't really speak in depth about it until a little bit later when we had to make some hard decisions about whether we were going to continue to be long distance or whether Trey would come to me to Michigan. But for my first year of residency, once I knew I would not be in DC, I selected only DC programs for that first year, just so that there would be at least 1 year in DC for us to get to know each other a little bit better and to see if that would work out. And I always look upon that because I think that was kind of my Baltimore crazy decision to go to DC to see. But, you know, I had family in DC and I had friends in DC, so it wasn't that crazy of a decision, but I definitely made the decision mainly with this relationship in mind to really see if I could give it some time and energy, because by that point, that was getting closer to the February time. And he says, I was joking that February maybe because he came in town and I'd made him all of these chocolate covered strawberries. Yep.
And she cooks for a family. I just remember walking in for Valentine's and she had two lasagnas cooked. I said, what is happening? I can't. I'm like, baby.
He said it was his favorite.
It was my favorite, but Lord Jesus. It was amazing.
Can we talk about the easiest way to a man's heart is through his stomach? I to this day swear by that phrase. I grew up on that. I am very serious about the cooking. I remember, you know, cooking for Jason all the time and always so excited about cooking, and his friends would come over. I'd make jambalaya. I'd entertain at his house when we were dating. And I love that you do that too. I think that's a lost art. Yeah. And we need to bring that back because it's the simple things. It doesn't cost that much either.
Hey, ladies, she's right. We like that. Because even when Jara selected Baltimore as the place that she went to for that 1 year to kind of get us more footing of like our love languages, because we both like being around each other. I think our love language is being present, right? And you know, my house, I guess, was the hosting house of socials. But, like, she would come over, and my friends were just so excited to see Jara, too. Not just for cooking, but, like, her personality was bubbling. But then the cooking was a plus, too. Like, she would be in there for everybody. And, like, everybody loved her cornbread. And now she's allergic to corn, so she can't even eat it like that.
Oh, shoot.
Right.
I still make it for
She still life. Makes it for everybody. But like when I say, I remember having a little social and we all on the rooftop playing spades, and like, I don't know how many people were there, but like there was one pan left downstairs as she's bringing the other pan upstairs. And then she goes back downstairs and the pan is done, like on the first floor. And I think, you know, she still cooks to this day. I think when we have socials at our house, like people are just very happy to just come because it feels like love in the air every time at our house too. But like there's always good food. And, you know, I think that's her love language too, cooking food for others and making sure people are satisfied when they're in our presence.
Beautiful.
I do appreciate every time for choosing Baltimore, you know, and I think that helped make it easier for me to choose Michigan.
Okay, let's talk about Michigan. Let's talk about it. Jara graduates. Trey is in DC. She's able to do her first year residency in DC. Or Baltimore, DC area, which was great because they were still close to each other. They had that year to kind of really date intentionally for that year. Yeah. And then Jara is set to go to Michigan for her second year of residency. And Trey, how did you make that decision to go to Michigan? I need to understand. We need to roll this
man,
back now.
How did I make that decision? Man, it was Game of Thrones, man. We were on that couch every day watching Game of Thrones. Because we had to catch up on Game of Thrones, got friends. I don't know, it was a tough one, guys. Like, there are people, like, it was a tough one. Jara would say, like, I stepped away from my relationship for a little while. I don't know how long it was. I mean, mentally, I had to check myself and say, are you prepared for that route? Because that's a large out of comfort experience, too. Because you're chasing love in that point in time, right? Those are prime business years of like building up things. And then I had to look at myself and say, hey, is the life that you truly want for yourself? Because you're not only making a commitment to your partner, but to yourself, right? And you have to say, hey, you know, all these things you said you want for yourself and like your families and these goals, do they align here? And I think that was the hardest thing for me, where I think I was scared of the man I was supposed to be. And I was like, no, let me step away. Cause you know, I try to fault her, but like, hey, you know, what if I'm not the man that you want, you know? And I try to use that as a scapegoat to get out of it. And as a kid say now, Jara stood on business. She was like, I don't believe you. Like I walked away for a little while and she always told me like, I'll probably not go back to somebody, you know, but you know, she looked at me and I looked at her and I was like, man, I'm lying to myself, man. And I need to step up to the plate and be prepared for Michigan, because, you know, she was one of the people that inspired me to think about, you know, real estate. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about how I can become like the person that can put events together and make sure people are connected and try to get money off of the connection that I bring each other. And she was like, hey, people are going to buy and sell houses and commercial real estate all day, every day. And you're the person they trust and believe in because you're already giving them party experience and stuff like that. But from a real wealth management perspective and wealth building perspective, all wealth is really made through real estate. And she was like, Trey, you need to take this serious. And I looked at her and understood that, you know, me going to Michigan, me choosing her, I'm also choosing that career as well. But I'm actually choosing myself and saying, can you step up to the plate to be the best version of yourself? It was scary. And I mean, look at us now, but it was a scary thing. I was going there literally for her, but also saying, you got to start your career now. You know, all the stuff you did beforehand is cool, but you know, you got to step into life. And I thank her for that every day. But that was a decision. It was hard. That's not easy. It was hard.
It's beautiful is what it is. It's beautiful. You know, and I'm just so proud of you for taking the risk, for believing, like you said, in yourself, yeah, believing in Jara, and making that move, because you were working for a liquor brand, weren't you?
Yeah, I came out of school working for Bacardi USA, you know, and I was making money going to clubs, just telling people, hey, you should try Douce because it's fresh on the market and they want that client pool from the Hennessy perspective. And I was like, baby, life is comfortable. But that was going to be temporary success, right? And then you're always going to be in the working perspective. And she was like, Trey, I see something more, you know? And I probably saw it in myself too, but hearing it from somebody that is coming from love. And then, you know, from her standpoint, she wanted a party that was, you know, the strongest version of themselves too. And I think she was just pouring her love into me to say, go out there and do it. And I just had to answer the call and make it happen. Still making it happen.
I kind of duped him. I told him, because he said, you know, what he wanted in a career, that he wanted to be able to set his own hours and have flexibility because he really wanted a family and he wanted to be able to be present as a dad and yeah, not be kind of tied to a clock in the way, for instance, that I am working as a healthcare provider. And so I was like, you have a great personality and people love talking to you and getting advice from you. Why don't you think about this? And I said, hey, we can even do the test together. And then I took a look at that study guide and I was like, ah,
she's like, I ain't doing real estate with you.
It was a lot. It was a lot. And he would stay up while I was in residency, that first year of ophthalmology residency. He was up like projecting it onto our TV and doing all of those practice guides. And then I would listen to him when he first, you know, got his first few clients. And he really was like almost a therapist to them. And I was like, well, this takes a lot of energy and work. So I think, you know, he tries to say, oh, it was all me, but really there's no way that I could have, you know, walked that path with him. He really,
but you inspired him. You saw,
inspired.
You saw some skills and some things in him that he did not see. And you saw how he could take those and get out of the event space and do more. Yes. And as Trey said, to start building wealth and legacy. And what better way to do it than with real estate? And that's what I'm talking about, partnership. That is a proper partnership right there.
That was even all the way.
Well, I you know, we kind of skimmed over it, but I want to go back. How long was this break you guys took? And help me understand that again? Because you try to go through stuff real fast.
I thought it was only a few weeks.
It was about a month. And we had gone out for his birthday, and then right before my birthday is when he ended the relationship.
So what did you say, Trey?
I don't even know, man. I was trying to make up an excuse. I don't know. Because I didn't want to ever, like, let her down or make her sad at me or anything like that.
He said he needed to work on himself.
Yeah.
That was a good answer.
Because I was probably being serious, because I don't think I could. Because as a guy, you still want to, like, know the route you're about to take. And I just couldn't see it. I was trying to put the puzzle, the pieces together, and it was hard. I just didn't know. I was scared. I was like, Michigan, what I'm going to do there? How I'm bringing my own, you know, currency the way I'm used to doing it, you know. Everything's in D.C. I know D.C., you know. And I think I was just scaring myself. And it was not her. It was me. And I, you know, and no one wants to hear that, you know. Like, oh, it's not you, it's me. But it really was, you know. And I think she heard me. But then she was like, nah, bro. Because you're just trying to take the easy way out, you know. And I think that's what I was trying to do. And I think, you know, to be great, you just got to, you know, stand up to certain situations and make it happen. And I think she looked at me and said, no, I chose you too. Get your behind up and, like, we're going to figure this out. And I think it took me a few back and forth to, like, kind of listen, because I would love to try to see her and stuff like that, you know. But then just one time she said, no, I'm across the street. We're going to have drinks. It was a slow but sure get back to it. And this was the time she was still in Baltimore too. So it was right before she had to go to Michigan later on that year in July, right?
I think so you went to Michigan.
Yeah, we went to Michigan.
You got your real estate license. Yeah. I know you were balling out in Michigan, because I remember talking to you, because one time we even came to Ann Arbor because Jason had gotten into Michigan Ross, and we were going to try to hook up with you guys for dinner.
Yeah.
And you were selling real estate, which is so incredible to go to a new city, honestly, and to be so successful.
She took it to another level too, where we started even finding houses to buy ourselves. And she was like, no, let's go make it happen. We're going to go buy some houses and you're going to do development work too. I was like, true. And we found a cool 3 houses on 1 block, and Jara said, go make it happen. I said, all right. And then we have like 12 houses now or something. Yeah. So
in Michigan?
Like all over. So we have Michigan's like,
most of them, I think.
Most of them are still in Michigan right now. Like, I think 8 in Michigan, and then I have some in Houston.
And you rent them out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, party people. They're 33 and 34 years old. They own 12 houses as a result of Trey going to Michigan, following Jara because she was in residency, finding a way out of no way. Jara basically telling Trey, you can do hard things. And dude, we're going to utilize all these skills and you're going to become a realtor. And oh, by the way, and a developer. And they have you guys have an amazing home with a pool and a golf course in Houston. And to be 34 and 35, to hear where you started, both of you guys, I guess you met when you were teens in high school to where you are today at 34 and 35 is pretty amazing. And so really supporting each other's goals is tremendous, because Jara, you're now a full-fledged practicing ophthalmologist, and you're still supporting Trey because you can with his entrepreneurial goals.
Yeah.
But he supported me as well. I think, you know, making a joke, you know, they always say with like, you weren't with me shooting in the gym. That's and hilarious. Trey jokes that residency was like pledging a sorority or a fraternity. That we were online together.
We were online.
Because we really were. You know, there were nights, like months, where you have to work night shift or where you're working call and working these long hours. And, you know, for instance, the month and a half that I was on night float, Trey really actually would stay up with me during those nights. And if I ever got to come home, he was like awake, and we would entertain each other so he could try to keep me up so that I would get through those nights.
Amazing.
Even during COVID, that was when we dove into the stock market together. Because we would be up watching Fox Business trying to learn like what to invest in and researching online. But honestly, residency is a really, really tough time. I think anyone who's been through it can tell you it's one of the most difficult times because you have, you know, like 28-hour work shifts and keeping your morale up is really difficult. And I came home to this guy and he was always keeping things light. He would set my alarm 3 hours too early and he'd say, "You're late for work." And I'd wake up like frantically trying to get dressed. And then I'd see him laughing in the corner and realize like it's only 2 a.m.
I love you.
And you can take things very seriously, but he made sure that I never took myself too seriously and that we always kept things happy at home.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
I'll take that.
Absolutely beautiful. And how long have you guys been in Houston now?
Almost 2 years. Yeah, almost 2 years.
Yeah. So you were 3 years in Michigan, 2 years in Houston.
Four years in Michigan. So three years of the last 3 years of residency and then 1 year fellowship.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
4 years in Michigan. Yeah. So I think Trey acclimated to Michigan really well.
I did. Yeah, I have workers out there, so it makes it a little bit easier. And I mean, I was just listening back to what you were saying. Like, it's, we got to give ourselves grace too, man. It's crazy because, like there's a lot of stuff that we see that we still want to accomplish, but at the same time, figuring out how to live in the presence right now, you know, because I think there's a lot of stuff that we've done together and we're still doing together. But I know there's so many goals that we want to hit. And I just sometimes look back like, dang, are we doing it? But I guess so, you know. But it stems from like the love in this house is always high. Like I love battery doesn't go down. Like I haven't seen a day that I don't come home super excited to see my wife. Even if there's stuff that comes up that we got to tackle together, you know, because I'm a guy, you know. I still do guy things, you know. But I listen well, you know. But I think that love battery doesn't go down. I think that's the biggest thing.
That's beautiful, especially with your demanding careers and with a newborn. And how is sex with all of that, may I ask?
I enjoy sex with my partner, man.
Of course you do.
I'm not going to try not to become very red. No, it's no complaints here.
Time.
So you're not tired? You don't get tired?
No, I think you just have to... We put it in a difference because the child comes first, right? So so Cade is in my place, right? He's on the boob, you know. I'm cool with it. That's my man's. That's my man's. You know, I love him. You know,
you're not jealous.
No jealousy because I know like that love and bond is happening that he needs from his mom. But like it's something nice. But like, come on, you know. But you know, I think the love of like the household love. Is euphoric and it feels like sex when you walk in the house. Like it's that high of like, you know, happiness. But when we do get active, it's outstanding.
And you're not tired during, it's the kind of thing where you think like, oh, do I have energy for this? But then as soon as it kind of starts, then you
always 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I can speak from firsthand knowledge.
Yeah. So
you may be tired, but you're not tired. Quickly not tired.
Yeah, exactly.
You in it. Yes. You in it. You know.
You in it. You just have to get to that first step.
But I think our sexual chemistry works well too. And I think that's still important for, you know, households and families and stuff like that. I think our sexual DNA, you know, is compatible. So I think we have no problems there. And it still probably adds more happiness outside the bedroom sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And I think when people find that and, you know, don't shy away from it, that's something that's needed in a relationship, you know, and it's a two-way street. And I think, you know, it works.
I think the only
and
time
it's natural tired and people should be having sex. It's natural.
What type?
Oh, I was going to say, Trey says he was tired when we were trying to make
cake. Oh, that's hilarious.
That's really?
Sex when you're trying to make, I think there's a point in time we got intentional with it, you know? You know, I think we're a little bit freer to say it. Like we had, you know, unfortunate, like a miscarriage the first time, right? A go around.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, it's a blessing in disguise because Cade is wow. Right. But I was making a joke that when you're intentional about saying that, hey, the clock is ticking, this is my time window. sex is, you know, still the same sex, but it's like, yo, stop doing the extra stuff. We only go all day. Yo, if you don't go right now, just drop, you know.
Let's just get right to it.
I'm trying to still make love. I'm trying to do the whole
No foreplay, none of that. Let's just get right to it.
I don't know how to have sex any type of different way, right? It's just like, it's the same way. She's like, brother, come on. Come on. Right? It's like, bro, if you don't let this go.
You guys are hilarious.
K-tier. Right, and it's gonna happen again if we go for number two, because everybody asked us, where is the next one? I'm like, K's perfection. You want to do another perfection?
Which I you want to wait a little bit too, because he's only 8 months old, 10 months old.
Yeah. So I think 2025. But yeah, I was making a joke about that. It's real.
That's so funny.
She had me having drinks in the kitchen. I don't even know what I was drinking. She was like, just drink this real quick. I was like, all right, you know. And then this other lady, she made a joke. I forgot where we were. It was at this waffle spot. And she was like, oh, you got a boy?
No, it was my patient.
Oh, her patient.
Yeah.
What'd she say?
That we had a boy, which means that I was actually participating in the sex. And she said, if you want a girl next time, she was like, if you want a boy, that means you really wanted it. You really wanted it. That's why you have a boy. Next time, if you want a girl, you just have to lay there.
I was like, what?
You know what? I was told the same thing. And
really?
We had Bradley first, which was a girl, and I really wanted a boy. And so I was very intentional, and I did what I needed to do, and sure enough, I had my boy. And I'm going to leave it at that. Party people, you can go look it up and see what it means.
That's fine.
But I knew what I was doing.
As the kids do, they snap. Okay, go ahead then. All right then, period.
It was an
period, that part.
You know it had to be, because she was not shy about telling us.
It's a whole thing. So I try to tell people. I'm glad you figured it out.
Hey man, I'm appreciative, man. Kate is a blessing. Yeah, he's a blessing.
He is.
I'm happy.
So I've got a question for each of you. You know, as you guys know, Trey, you know, you both know, because you're very intimately involved with Dottie and what we're trying to do to create space for our young Black people to find love and be intentional early, as you guys were. In your mid-20s.
Yeah.
What are you seeing, Trey, with your Black friends that are single? Why are they single? What's stopping them from committing? What are the problems? Like, what are you seeing? Tell us.
You gotta get lucky, first of all, too. So, like, I think a lot of people may still be single. One, they may not be getting lucky, or they let the lucky moment pass them by treating it differently than they would another relationship. Because I think sometimes people don't know that they're probably staring the one in their face, right? And they try to, you don't date them differently. It's just like, you don't show them the same level of quality of care and like appreciation, where guys gotta find a way where social media is just out there, man. It's not like the end all be all. Like, it's good for references, but it's just not good for longevity sometimes, because I think we're painting a picture of like the now, and you know, relationships take work, and sometimes people may not be willing to put the work into a relationship just like they do their career. This one person, he's really focused on his career, right? And I think he really wants a real relationship, because we all chatted about it, but I think he's just trying to track his like business acumen first. And I was like, hey.
I think, and that's a big miss. If you look at your peers, and when I say peers, your white peers and your peers from other cultures that are in corporate America.
Yeah.
They're all married.
Yeah.
The men are married. And guess what else? They're going on golf trips with their spouses and their bosses. They're going to dinner with their spouses and their bosses. And you are like the lone man. Two is better than one. When you've got another person to strategize with, to figure out, okay, this happened at work. How should I deal with this? All the things that you guys do, that Jason and I do, that all of our friends do that are married. I just don't understand why so many of our men are not connecting the dots, that you will be so much more successful, and you're viewed very differently.
Yeah.
You're viewed much more serious when you have a wife.
They do. Corporate America judges you off your partner, right? And I think even Jara saw that too, in regards to saying, hey, you should think about the skill set, because even in rooms of doctors, they're like, hey, I need your skill set, right? And I think that's a lot easier than coming in a room and say, hey, I could throw your gala next year, right?
Well, I think it depends on our surroundings. So in medical training, for instance, we have these lectures and everyone would end their lecture with a slideshow of their family. And so it's very early programming that goes into like my field that this is what is normal and this is what is considered stable and this is what is sustainable in this field. And so like, you know, as going into medical school as a single person, a lot of my medical school classmates were in relationships or and there are people in medical school, obviously of all different ages, but definitely you would see among our mentors that most people were married. You know, some obviously had kind of crossed over and not everyone was in a successful relationship still, but most people were married and had families. And that was just the majority of what we were exposed to was families and family life.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's hard for a lot of my friends who are not in a field like that. So I think if some of us who are in more of like the expressive arts types of fields, so people who are influencers or in social media or who are not necessarily in an like more rigid structured type of work environment, that's not always the case. Yeah. Or you maybe just don't see that someone's married because there isn't that PowerPoint with the picture of their kids and their dog and their, you know, at the end. I think a lot of my friends who are single, that is part of the issue, is that a lot of them, for instance, have dated
your female friends?
My female friends are dating men who they see potential in, but the man maybe feels like they can't necessarily commit time to a relationship and also commit time to their career. And I do know like there is, I think just based on the culture, there's this culture that a man has to have everything like all figured out. So they have to be able to afford expensive dates and afford just to demonstrate intentionality. But I think the reality is most of my girlfriends are happy with you expressing intentionality in the way that you can. Mm-hmm. And depending on, you know, what you're, obviously no one wants to date someone who has no plans for themselves. That's not, I don't think anyone who is working hard to better themselves wants to align themselves with someone who has that goal. But I would tell Trey when we were first dating, you know, like you can bring me a card and flowers, or just send a card if all you can afford is a card, which is now we weren't in that space. But I think the main thing is that like someone has to be able to demonstrate that they were thinking of you. And that's what most women want, which is, I don't think what a lot of men think. I think a lot of men think
social media.
Yeah. That they have to,
unfortunately.
It just does take communication. And one thing that allowed me, I think, to feel more comfortable taking Trey seriously was the fact that he really is very open about communication. Because I always joke with him now, I was like, can you text someone this? And he'll call them. And he likes to just communicate directly just so that there's no ambiguity. And I think that that was helpful in the beginning. Because a lot of times when we are dating, there's like this need to remain mysterious and not put all of your cards on the table and not show how you really feel. And that is cute. And yes, mystery needs to be there to some extent, but the reality is both of us are here and we're people. And the faster you understand what type of person I am and whether I work for you, the faster we can kind of skip past whatever's going on here.
Yeah.
So what is your advice then, Jara, to the women and to the men relative to communication?
I mean,
how do you balance that fine line of mysteriousness, but also, you know, being intentional and letting people know that you're interested? Because I think that's the disconnect right there, that intersection.
Yeah, I think it's really tough because I don't know that women can always set the tone for that type of thing. But I do think that trying to open dialogue and trying to at least communicate your expectations can be one of the main things. And then also communicating with a man about what position he's in and what he's looking for and what he sees himself being able to give at that time would also be helpful, just because I know that some people aren't willing to express their limitations because they think it might scare someone away. And there might be someone who is totally reasonable about that. I mean, there are times when we're both in school or we are both, you know, in between jobs and looking for things. And you know, there's so many different life circumstances that can determine like how people approach a relationship. And sometimes I think intentionality gets miscommunicated because those types of things aren't clearly.
So I think one of the key things I heard you say was talk on the phone. Like, we need to get away from texting. A study just came out about texting versus talking on the phone, and even how you feel hearing someone's voice versus a text message.
Yes.
I think we need to get away. The iPhones have really done a doozy.
I don't know how we can do that, but if that becomes an emphasis on first dating and stuff like that, because the thing that hinders in text messages, the person's reading it the way they would read it, right? And not listening to how it should have been read or received. And you pigeonhole yourself in text messages. Like, I know when we used to have, she was good at texting, right? If there was like a misunderstanding or disagreement or an angry moment or something like that, she would beat me in texting. And I'll be like, I can't text back, man, because I don't want it not to be understood of how I'm trying to communicate this. I would try to call her and she'll hang up because she know, like, she can, like, I don't know if my words sound reasoning. Like, oh, okay. If in that moment I don't want to hear it, end the text message. When I say a paragraph and get out real quick, and I'll be having to read through it. Like, don't you make no errors in regards to spelling or conjunctions or, you know, pronunciation. Man. Like, I had to, like, sometimes stop and read a message and be like, all right, how do you respond, Trey? And I had to think through how I wanted to make sure it's received as she's reading it, right? So if we're already doing that in our day-to-day life and just texting, like, that's already, you're already hindering yourself, right? So a phone call is way better, you know? But, like, when you are doing text messages, you just gotta be more in depth on, like, how the person should be receiving it wants to read it. And not how you want to throw it out there. And maybe it changes where people pick up the phone and have a conversation. Phone calls over text. But yeah, if you got a text, man, sit still. Because the angry text can't come. Just don't mess up too much, my man.
You are hilarious.
These are real. These are real. I don't have
so any. Much gets miscommunicated with texting.
Yes, it does.
I would love for the norm to go back to talking on the phone versus texting. And we're just going to leave it at that and let that sit out in the universe.
We're 34, 33. I think our age group had the last bit of, you know, actually being on the phone or looking forward to being on the phone in our mental memory, like the 13s or 14s. Like, we would run home at that age and get the phone at the house.
Phone. Yeah,
and call.
A lot of successful relationships now FaceTime. They FaceTime all the time. I think that's amazing.
That's what fun. He did.
FaceTiming is very intimate.
Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, what's up, baby? You know,
always be a FaceTime call, which is great because, I mean, you know, you really
can see my surroundings. You know, I'm still here.
Yeah, it's very intimate. I love a FaceTime. It's very intimate. I know we do not have a lot more time, so I just want to ask you a few more questions.
Okay.
Because the people probably want to know. So you've been married for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, going on 4 years. It'll be 4 years in March, right?
No, 4 years in September.
I mean, 4 years in September.
We did two weddings, in a sense, COVID wedding and then regular wedding.
Right. But so 4 years in September.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys had marriage counseling? Do you have a therapist? Did you have counseling prior to? Tell me.
We had counseling right before
we got
married.
We had counseling prior to. We are currently in the process of looking for a marriage counselor.
Yes.
Mostly because of the changes that have happened since having a child, kind of just making sure that we are both the best parent and selves that we can be, because
absolutely
whatever we have will be transferred over to him. I do have a therapist. Trey has at times.
I've tried. Jara told me it's important to go get a therapist. I haven't found anybody that really fits me, but I haven't really worked at it. And Jara says that's an important thing. I need to value the importance of it, because I'm sure there's unmasking that I need to do from, you know, childhood. I don't know, I wouldn't say trauma, but, like, you know, my upbringing, I didn't have my dad in my life, and I just knew that was a very intentional thing that I wanted to do for myself. And then I don't want to pass on anything to my child for stuff that I probably haven't unpacked myself. Because I put up a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say I close off a bunch of things that I know I don't want to address right away. You know, and I know certain emotions that's going to come out at certain different times in life. That's just how I've lived. And I think Jara was like, hey, why don't you get somebody to kind of talk these different things, just so when that comes up, you know, you're the best version of yourself for the child. And I haven't got a chance to get to it fully, but I'm sure it'll happen. But I walk with a good group of guys every Sunday, my mentors, and that's my, you know, therapy session sometimes. They're older gentlemen that are retired doctors and real estate moguls and stuff like that. But we chat about life in that moment, you know. It's an hour, walk around Memorial, and then we go get breakfast at, Bloomin' Bees at the Post Oak. And that's, you know, I don't do it every weekend, but like at least like once or twice a month, you know. But I'm sure I need to get a real, you know, doctor, you know. But I do talk out things that I, you know, want more clarity to, or at least hear myself talk it out so I can try to find my own answers as I'm talking it, you know. But yes, I need a therapist. Thanks, guys.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. You know, therapy, that's one of the beautiful things that's come out of COVID, is that therapy and having a therapist has become more of a norm versus not.
Yeah.
And so many of our Dottie clients, most of them have therapists. People really look at it as like their personal trainer, and they really want to drop that. It's almost like they want to drop it like, hey, I've got to get off this call because I'm meeting with my therapist at 6. Yep. Like, they want to let you know I'm doing
That's
the work on myself.
What I was doing right before our call.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
They want to let you know I'm doing the work on myself and I'm serious about it. It's really also social. It's like it's status. It's become very much a social status thing. Talking about therapy, talking about their therapist, I'm headed over to therapy. You know, people used to always say, oh, I've got to go meet my personal trainer. Now everyone is quick to say, I have to meet my therapist. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for sharing. Is there anything else you guys like to share with everybody, share with the group?
Your love is your love, you know, but make it happen. Like, treat it like a career. Cause like, honestly, this is our business. You know, we're both CEOs of our own company, and you know, your family name is what lives in rooms that you're not in. So like, what do you want people to view you as? And you know, being viewed as an individual is a lot harder to get things pushed up forward instead of being viewed as a couple. That's one, if that makes sense. So find a partner that makes you feel like one and claim her or claim him, you know, and then, you know, work together and be the happiest versions of yourselves. That's what I would say.
Beautiful. Jara?
You know, Trey's the one who we always coin his toast by Trey. He's really good at these nice closures. But I think for me, what I would say is that life is always going to have ups and downs, and it's very difficult to get through this on your own. And I think for me, every day at the end of work, I rush home because I find so much happiness here. And that's because of who is present in my home. And so I just really think it's important to be intentional when choosing your partner, that you choose them for the reasons that will provide you that type of happiness over the, you know, the course of the long run.
Beautiful. Okay.
Oh, you love me. Oh.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you guys so much for sharing. We're so happy to have finally had you on the Dottie's House podcast, and yes, looking forward to seeing you guys soon. Love you guys.
We love you too. Thanks, Harvey.
Thanks for listening to Dottie's House. We'd love to know your thoughts about today's episode. Join the conversation on Instagram. Follow us at The Dottie Club. And if you're looking for your happily ever after, apply today at thedottieclub.com. Be sure to follow our podcast wherever you listen so you can join us for the next episode.